And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. And now I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with Paul and Donna. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Good morning, Debbie.
And this morning you're going to talk a little bit about the Recovery Academy. So tell us a little bit about this and when it started.
Yeah, so the Academy was set up a number of years ago. I think it was 2016 when they launched it as a charity. And prior to that, there was a lot of work was done with regards recovery and trying to promote recovery movement. And that's really where the Academy developed from. It began in a service within Solitude, was the service in the city centre of Dublin. And from that, it developed a lot of support from academics and people in recovery as well, and people who worked in addiction recovery services. And through that, a piece of research was done also around that time when it was launched, and it was called Addiction Recovery, A Contagious Paradigm. And okay, the idea behind that was, well, I suppose the research behind that was to highlight what was happening on the ground in respect to recovery and a recovery movement, or maybe I wouldn't say the lack of, or what was it, what could drive a recovery movement in respect to what the work that was being done on the ground by services. And yeah, so again, the Contagious Paradigm piece was about people who came into recovery or addressed some of their issues regarding substance misuse, then were able to influence other people into recovery also. And that's kind of where it kind of began. And that was,
and
in
is it recovery for substance abuse, alcohol abuse, and anything like, it's just,
yeah, anything with regards to addiction,
substance
misuse and behavioural issues as well.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah. And I suppose we're trying to, the whole idea behind it is to try and to highlight recovery is more than just possible, it's a reality for many. And and through that process, people then can be influenced, positively influenced through their peers and through the support of the Academy and through events that are taking place. Well, we're trying to develop events to make recovery more visible within communities. Again, we are very much in our infancy and rely on support. I'm currently the only one employed by them, and we rely on support and really positive volunteers who have, some who have lived experience and some who are just supporting the recovery movement and what we believe in and what we believe
and
in.
Do you have any, do you get any government funding, or is it just relying on people's generosity and fundraising?
No, at the moment my role is funded by the HSE.
Yeah.
So they funded my role and some of my I suppose obligations as the coordinator of the Recovery Academy.
And the rest is volunteers helping out.
Volunteers helping out, yeah.
Where would we be without volunteers here in Ireland? I think we're very good at doing that here in Ireland. You know, we have a lot of volunteers working in organisations and keeping the, a lot of the organisations going. And
very,
so you're there
so,
to provide support for people in recovery. Do you help their families as well, or is it just...
Well, the whole idea behind it is, as addiction has a ripple effect among families and communities, recovery also has that ripple effect among communities and families. And if, say, for instance, in a particular, like, again, from reading back on the research, the Contagious Paradigm, what was taken from it was some of the language that was spoken within the focus groups, and some of what the people in recovery were talking about with regards how, I suppose, people encourage them or if to use the language, if something is contagious, how do you catch something that's contagious? You have to be exposed to it, and people were being exposed through the process of peers, and that's how they started to learn about the whole thing of recovery, you know.
And there seems to be a lot, like we've done a lot of interviews for people who are recovering from substances, drugs, alcohol. There seems to be, I know there's probably not enough help out there, but there seems to be a lot of organisations at the moment trying to help people, you know, with addictions. And I know what I can't understand is when people have an addiction and they're looking for help, they have to be clean before they can be taken in somewhere. Is that still the way things go?
Again, that's down to the service provision and what service, I suppose, that can be seen as a barrier, obviously, for people who are trying to access treatment.
Then on the other side of that, you sometimes need to have a door to your hand. Like, it has to be a positive to get in somewhere.
Yeah.
So it depends on the organisation.
Exactly. But this the recovery you're doing you did a pop-up recovery cafe. Was that a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, that we had that.
How did that go?
That was in Edda. Yeah, it was, again, we've planned to have one once a month in a different service, and that's to highlight recovery within the communities, to make it more visible, to work in collaboration with existing services and to promote recovery, make it more visible, as I said, and to involve the people within them services and within the communities, for them to actually physically see that recovery is not possible. In some cases possible, and you know.
And in the organisation itself, is it like, do you have workshops or like what happens in the organisation?
Well, at the moment we have as I said, we're having the pop up cafes once a month in a different service. Then we have September as Recovery Month. Internationally, it's known as Recovery Month, so services promote recovery and try and make it more visible internationally, and we're doing that through the process of our annual recovery walk, which is taking place on the 14th of September. So we invite anybody who is an advocate or a supporter or family member or person in recovery to come along to that, and that's taking place on the 14th of September. We're starting from the Garden of Remembrance from 12 o'clock in the morning, and then we're arriving in, we're walking to Merrion Square, where we're going to have a hosting event there, similar to what took place last year.
And at the moment, do you have many people involved in the organisation, apart from, I mean, people coming to you for help?
Well, again, as we're in our infancy, and myself at the moment trying to drive, as well as a board, like we have a voluntary board as well who've been instrumental in developing the academy as an organisation, and they are all voluntary. We have a number of volunteers who are supporting the events, so the pop-up cafes, and we have people like some emails come to me asking for help and what's the whole idea of the academy and stuff, so I respond to them and explain what it is we do and how we'd hope to get people involved in respect to them coming along to these events and learning more about the academy.
But in the everyday today, do you have a meeting point for people who are in recovery to kind of do workshops and to have a chat with each other?
No, I suppose we lean on existing services with regards to that. And it's something that we're, as again, in
it's
our infancy, we're,
like,
we're
yeah.
developing that, and that's the whole
and
idea.
And it takes
the,
a while, yeah, yeah, to get that.
That's the whole idea of the pop-up cafes and bringing people together, and the idea also going forward is to train up peer-to-peer recovery coaches, and they will then be working in existing services as a recovery coach, as a mentor to other people who may be looking to obtain or sustain recovery, and they can bring them to other social gatherings. And again, as we evolve, that's what we're trying to achieve, and to bring more people together, and through that process you reduce the stigma associated to it as well by people being open and transparent about their recovery and being okay, I'm in recovery, but that's not just the whole of me as such, you know.
And exactly. That happens as well, like with the recovery walk, when people are out in their purple t-shirts, you know, promoting recovery on the back of the t-shirt and walking down O'Connell Street, like, you know, it's promoting it.
Yeah. So Donna, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved with the Recovery Academy?
Well, obviously, I've had my own lived experience with substance misuse, and I would have went into treatment, and then I would have went into Salcha, you know, what the place Paul was talking about a few minutes ago. I would have been in Salcha, and I would have done me time, you know, me day programme there, and I remember seeing recovery coaches coming in, and they'd be talking and whatever, and I remember thinking, I want to do that, you know, I want to be a recovery coach. And that was kind of, the seed was planted there, and they'd come in to the day programme and they'd just shoot the breeze with you and be talking and all. And it's like that thing that Paul was just talking about, it's, recovery is contagious, do you know what I mean? You see it in people and you want to. I was lucky enough, my brother is in recovery, and he went before me, so I wanted what he had. Do you know that kind of way? Yeah. It's attraction, like, it looked attractive and I wanted it. So like I said, I went into Salcha and I seen the recovery coaches in there, and I remember thinking I wanted to do that one day. Now it turned out I've ended up going to college So I'm doing a degree in college at the moment in social care, and so I've done a complete 360, so I kind of don't need to do recovery coaching, but I am passionate about promoting recovery.
Yeah.
So I jumped on board, and I do some voluntary work, and I go to the recovery pop-up cafes, and I do talks at them, and I, you know, tell them, not even tell them, just tell them my story, like, and how I've turned my life around, and hopefully then other people will be attracted to that and want that and know that it's possible.
Exactly, yeah. And as you said, you seen your brother going through it, so
yeah,
this is what you wanted. And
absolutely.
How many years ago is this?
Well, my brother's nearly 10 years in recovery now, and I'm over 3 years, so.
Well done.
So about 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
And was it something that just, in your mind, apart from your brother, that you just wanted to change your life?
Yeah,
did
absolutely.
Something happen?
Yeah, well, I knew there was another way to live. I knew I was better, not even that I was better than it, but I wanted more for myself. And it was just, I didn't know how to go about it. And then when you see other people doing it, you're like, you know, it's possible. And then you just, you know, it's hard work, but the pay is the rewards are great, like, you know.
And when you see people coming and talking to you, like, I mean, you have it first hand that you can, you know, if a person comes and wants that, what you wanted on it, you wanted to recover, you wanted to have a new life, you wanted to live your life.
Absolutely.
And you see that in a person, and you, like, as you know, firsthand, you've gone through what they're going through. And it must be a great feeling when you see someone on that path to recovery.
Absolutely, yeah. And you see it all the time. You know, we do go back, I was only in a graduation there, like Salja would do a graduation every 3 or 4 months when the you know, then people are finished and they do a graduation, and you see them all sitting up there, and you're after seeing them a few months beforehand and, you know, they're like shrinking violets, like, you know what I mean? And then you see them sitting with, you know, their shoulders
it's
up
great.
And they're starting college or whatever, like, and it's amazing, like.
And do you think there's enough help out there today to help people?
No, but that's why I think this is really, really important. I mean, there's loads of treatment centres and stuff, but we're trying to make this a way of life, you know what I mean? Like the way people go to pubs and clubs and all, you're trying to make, you know, I hope to see one day cafes like that, you know, they have in Liverpool and Scotland and stuff, like, you know, like I was only in Liverpool a few weeks ago and that's over there, like recovery cafes, and it's amazing, like. And
that's a great idea, because it's very hard for someone who's in recovery from alcohol especially, I suppose, or anything else, to, because most of our social life here in Ireland is pubs, really, when you think of it, and I tell you're meeting a pub, and it's hard for someone to kind of, I know maybe after a certain amount of time it gets easier to you know, have your social life back in a pub, but it's hard to go in when you're trying to
absolutely
kind of, so like, where else do you go?
And that's some of what we're trying to create is a wider community of people in recovery that can be supportive of other people in recovery. And if we I suppose some of the goals of the academy is to have services like a recovery cafe that people can go to, and events can take place, or even, as you mentioned, training can take place, and just a gathering of like a social gathering of people in recovery that isn't associated with alcohol or
so it's like kind of a day centre, not a day centre, but like that, say computer training, even cookery courses, or something to get people involved.
A lot of services provide that, so I suppose the piece around the recovery academy and creating a movement is, do you have these services there, and then it's the gap between service provision and mainstream society. So then if you had cafes or recovery cafes, for example, in between, so they would be like the gap between the service provision and mainstream society for people who are just in between the transition from treatment or rehabilitation or day programs to actual mainstream society, and that creates then evolves their social capital or recovery capital, as is known, in respect to addiction. So yeah, that's I suppose some of the goals of the academy.
And the pop-up cafe that you have, is this a regular thing? Like, are you trying to do this on a regular basis,
well,
or is it just once?
I started in the post as the project coordinator of the Recovery Academy in September, so obviously it was finding my feet at the beginning, and then rolled out a plan for 2019, and within that plan was to host a recovery cafe in a different service each month, and obviously we go to services that we have a working relationship already, but some of it is about evolving and doing it at a national level.
Yeah.
So like reaching out to services in other parts of Ireland and saying, would you host a pop-up cafe? And then we would go as with our team of volunteers and I suppose promote recovery and then involve their participants also and people like highlight it around the community and around other services to say this is what's happening, invite all of your participants or whoever would like to go, and then that we're in them pop-up cafes also, then the language begins to change also. Mm. Do you know, and then through that process the discourse around addiction changes also to recovery, because if you if you think of addiction it has negative connotations, however you think of recovery it has positive connotations, and some of it is around changing that language as well. Yeah. You know.
And where is this going to be, nationwide or just in Dublin?
Well, that is the goal is to be, we are establishing ourselves as a national organisation, so we are reaching out to services nationally.
And have you any idea when the next pop-up cafe is going to be?
Yeah, where? Well, the next one I think, yeah, it's the 25th in St. Calpe in Finglas.
All right.
And then August, the plan is to have one in TRP, that's the Tolga River Project in Blanchestown.
Okay.
And then for Recovery Month, which is September, will be in Ballymun, Yap, and they're hosting a number of events around recovery as well. To make recovery visible in that community as such.
Well, let us know and we'll read it out when the pop-up cafes are going to be there. Like, give us a bit of notice and we'll read it out on the show and let people know where they're going to be taking
that
place.
Would be brilliant, yeah.
So in September you have the walk. Is there anything else coming up for that month?
Well, the month of July we're hoping for a call to action in respect to the walk. So it's about highlighting, well, let's all come together and promote recovery and make it more visible and changing the public's perception of people in addiction / recovery.
Yeah.
Because again you have negative stereotypes and we're about trying to change them stereotypes.
Yeah. And I see you said you've just been really involved since last September, so you're quite new to it. So there's a lot you probably want to do, but I know it's probably kind of frustrating to try and get everything done so quick. Do you know what I mean? You want to try do the pop-up cafes, do the walks, and you seem to be doing great work so far.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah. Obviously we have huge aspirations and aspirations turn into goals also, and we also have goals obviously as well, and trying to achieve them goals on a limited budget as well it can be difficult. Mm. However, when we get more established as an organisation, hopefully people could donate to us as well, you know.
Yeah.
Going into the future, and then that can help with
Do you do fundraising events at all? Yeah?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. Maybe that might be a thing to probably think about and get some more money up. But the cafes themselves would be a great idea to have. You know, like you said, you have them in Liverpool and Scotland. It'd be great to see them here in Dublin as well. So that's probably a thing you're going to be working on.
Yeah, that's in one of the goals, all right, yeah.
Yeah. And you yourself, how are you doing now?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 100%.
So you're throwing all your efforts into this, and you know, you seem to be doing great work. Hopefully, you know, it will take off, and you're doing so far anyway. It has been, you know, really well with the
I suppose it's gathering momentum as it is.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people believe in recovery, and there's a lot of people in recovery. And, some of the walk is about like letting people be loud and proud of the recovery and not being shamed and stigmatized into not saying, oh yes, I'm in recovery, or well, I can't really say that because other people, what would they think, how would they view me, and, you know?
Yeah. And do you have like would you have a helpline for people to ring if they needed to talk to you, or would that be
that would be a different
service altogether? Okay. But do you have do people contact you at all, or you know?
Yeah, they can contact me through our website.
Yeah, what's your website?
It's recoveryacademyireland.ie, and then there's a contacts page on that.
Okay, so they just go on recoveryacademyireland.ie and everything comes up on that.
Yeah, that comes
about the
to
walk
me.
And everything that's taking place in September. And Donna, you're doing well today as well.
Yeah, I'm doing great, thank God. Yeah,
you're putting everything into this as well. And are you finished college, or are you still?
I'm finished my second year in college, so I've another couple of years to go. And
well done.
Yeah. I'll be doing placement then in services, and that's another thing with the Recovery Academy. You get to network, like, and build your cultural capital, like, and meet people from different services.
Yeah,
and
right.
You know, like, I was only in a meeting last week, and the there was a doctor at the meeting sitting in front of me, and he used to prescribe me methadone, like, and it was just surreal, like, that I was sitting in a meeting on a professional level with a man who, you know,
it's you must feel so proud of yourself, so the achievement.
Absolutely.
You know, it's great. It's a great achievement to think, look, I am where I am now today.
Yeah.
You know, if you look, it could have gone a completely opposite way.
Absolutely. I'm very blessed that it didn't, you know, and that I am where I am today, you know, because I go through me old area all the time and see people that are still, you know, caught in it, like,
and would you give speeches or, you know, go to schools? I think all schools should have something like this in place,
definitely.
You know, and to advise, you know, kids, you know, what the effects and where you can end up, like, you have turned your life around and you're happy, you're doing great, which is brilliant. But the other end of it, like, where you can end up, you know.
And if you can prevent it before it even happens, like, you know, you're right. I always say that, like, people should be going to schools. And people do go to schools all the time, you know.
Do they? Because I know in my daughter's school there hasn't been anyone. And I think because drugs are so, well, you know, in our country, it's everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just to, you know, kind of advise them and, you know, it's not all this glamour, you know, just to give them a bit of advice. And I think at a younger age even, because it seems to be out there for younger people as well. But listen, thanks to both of you for coming in today.
Thanks
for having us.
It was great to talk to you, and I hope everything goes well. And do keep in touch and let us know when the different events are coming on, and we can advertise them for you and get them
brilliant
out there.
Thanks.
Brilliant.
Well done for the work you're doing.
Thanks, Debbie.
Okay.
Thank you.